Welcome to our paranormal afterlife. This is our paranormal afterlife, and I'm your host, Simon Bowne. This week, I'm talking to Dr. Melvin Morse and AJ Parr about their book, An Urgent Message for Humanity, received during a groundbreaking scientific mediumship research project from the Spirit. AJ Parr is an internationally recognized Venezuelan journalist, best-selling author, and senior research associate at the Institute for the Scientific Study of Consciousness. Dr. Melvin Morse was an associate professor of pediatrics at the University of Washington for 20 years. He has published numerous books and peer-reviewed articles and won awards for his research on spiritual healing, remote viewing, and other aspects of human consciousness. And you can enjoy the extended version of this episode ad-free, along with over 100 hours of extended episodes on Patreon. Hi, AJ and Melvin. Thanks for coming back to the podcast.
Thanks for inviting us.
Yeah, thank you so much.
So we're going to talk about a book called An Urgent Message for Humanity, received during a groundbreaking scientific mediumship research project from the spirit realm. Could you guys give me an overview of what the project was?
So the project was funded by Robert Bigelow, and he's a Las Vegas aerospace entrepreneur, billionaire. He's funded a number of paranormal projects over the years. I think the best known one is the Skinwalker Ranch that I also was involved with a little bit in the past. He had four questions about mankind's spiritual situation. As you know, the world seems to be in tremendous turmoil. And Mr. Bigelow wanted that the spirit world to be asked four questions. And the first question was, has mankind failed to progress spiritually over the last 150 years? I'll talk about why he picked that period of time in just a moment. His second question was, what is the role of the spirit world? You know, how exactly does the spirit world help humanity, if it does at all in terms of spiritual progress? He then wanted us to narrow down on, again, the last 150 plus years for specifics of what exactly the spirit world has done for humanity. And it's a reasonable question in this time of tremendous warfare and the really the divisions and hatred throughout the world today. It does seem like mankind has lost its spiritual compass. And his final question was, are there saboteurs? Is the bad spirits or bad humans, are they impeding mankind's progress? So these were four questions that he had. And he sent out a call for research projects worldwide. He got over 400 research teams. He wanted this to be a scientific investigation. And we were one of six teams selected primarily because of our unique protocol in attempting to answer these questions. We felt that these questions were so emotionally laden that it would be hard for a medium to separate his or her own thought process from, of course, you know, whatever insights are coming through the medium from the spirit world. So we determined that we would ask these questions as numbers. So instead of saying to the medium, you know, has mankind failed to progress in the last 150 years, we would say to the medium, you know, we have a question that's coded by the number 621055219. And there was five other teams. They answered the question in more conventional ways, simply engaging mediums to answer the questions directly. our team was the one that came up with this novel approach of coding the questions as numbers.
I'd like to add that our team belongs to the Institute for the Scientific Study of Consciousness. This is an institute founded by the American psychologist and consciousness researcher Charles Tart in 1977. It's a nonprofit educational and research institution presided by Dr. Melvin Morse. And part of our team includes Dr. Raymond Moody, who also played an important part in this study. And we have different members of the team. And we're really proud of being chosen for this groundbreaking mediumship research study founded by the Bigelow Institute for Consciousness Studies.
So how did you find the mediums that took part in the study?
We went to the community to find these mediums. because we were going to have a unique protocol for our mediums, this would involve some training. That's kind of an odd, mediums are not used to answering questions in terms of numbers. We had to find mediums who would be willing attempt to use our protocol to answer their question. By and large, we chose mediums who had good reputations in the community. They were not necessarily professional mediums or well-known mediums. The other studies actually went that route. Instead, we took people who were locally known, who had good reputations, by and large were not professional mediums. As an example, one of our mediums was a veterinarian. Another medium is a factory worker. They typically would have day jobs and work mediumship as a part-time. One of our mediums works for the United States FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation. She's worked for them as a psychic for the last 27 years. Another medium was a trainer of mediums. She's a professor of mediumship in Charleston, in South Carolina, in the United States, and she sent us her very top student. And then we were not content to simply select mediums who had a good reputation and, not con artists, had success within the community. But we also, we wanted to make sure that they could handle this novel task of getting information from a number.
Just found a plug-in.
We taught our mediums to remote view. And remote viewing is, in fact, a protocol that we use, identifies an unknown target by a number. For example, the Eiffel Tower is coded as a number. And then we give that number to the medium, and we expected them to be able to tell us the cluster of information that is linked to that number. And in this case, it would be a known target. We're asking them to do something unknown, contacting a entity, a discarnate entity, and answer these questions. But before we had them do that, we wanted to make sure that we could give them a known target and that they could identify that target. For example, we gave one of the mediums a number that corresponded with a woman who was in hospice. And we wanted to see if she could contact this woman. So we gave her a arbitrary number that we assigned to the woman. And sure enough, the medium was able to contact the woman in her hospital bed. And we spoke with the woman. We wanted to see what the interaction was like from the woman's point of view. And she told us that during the time that we were tasking the medium with contacting her, she said she was alone in her hospital room when suddenly she heard a voice say, "Hello." And she looked around and there was no one in the room. And then she felt a hand patting her on the wrist and reassuring her that her daughter would be coming to her bedside soon. And in fact, that's, what the medium told us that she was doing. So we were able to independently verify that this medium was the real deal. If she could contact a living person, she could contact she could contact a discarded entity. And our final sort of hurdle for our mediums was we wanted them to be able to influence the flow of electrons in a true random number generator. And you might wonder, well, why would we want them to do that? Because it's been shown that when humans go into an altered state of consciousness and are able to have spiritual intuitions and insights, simultaneously, their minds do affect the flow of electrons in a true random number generator. And this, interestingly enough, is a device that was developed by the Department of Engineering at Princeton in response to funding from McDonnell Douglas. It was often also first discovered this effect of the human mind on electrons was first discovered by the Boeing Corporation. And you might wonder again, why would aerospace giants be interested in something that we used to test our mediums with? And the reason for that is that they found that their pilots who are flying the sophisticated aircraft, that their minds, when they were in that zone of, of high concentration, that their minds would interfere with the electronics of the cockpit of their aircraft. And so they studied this effect, and they noted that this effect was also seen in other arenas, such as Carmelite nuns praying or remote viewers. When remote viewers, the military remote viewers, are accurately accessing information, about unknown targets of military importance, the same effect would be seen, that they could alter the flow of electrons in this device. Reiki healers can similarly do it. So we ask that our mediums have good reputations in the community. We ask that they demonstrate that they could remote view, and we expected them while they were in their trance states to be able to affect the flow of electrons in a true random number generator.
I would also like to add that these all the mediums were evaluated by a consulting forensic psychiatrist that belongs to the institute, to our institute, Jose Miguel Gaona. He evaluated the mediums to make sure that they were true mediums and that they also were fit for the experiment. So this was really interesting. I don't know if you want to add something, Melvin.
This is the first time that this has ever been done. There's always, people in general often are skeptical of mediumship, and it's sort of, are they crazy? Are they putting people on? Are they just, pretending to be in a trance state? And to our knowledge, this is the first time that a forensic psychiatrist has actually evaluated them and assessed that they were truly in a trance state. They were in a state of dissociation, and that this was a benign process, meaning that there was no mental pathology going on, but they were in a trance for the sole purpose of obtaining information from, I guess, what we can loosely call the other side. As scientists, of course, we call it the informational universe, the timeless, spaceless, information-rich universe that we are, of course, all embedded in.
So if you have the numbers for the questions, you're going to the mediums, you're saying these numbers refer to questions.
Yes.
So it's,
that's exactly what we did.
So the answers that come through then, it must be the spirits. They, you know what the questions are.
Exactly. And Simon, this was illustrated in a somewhat humorous way. One of our mediums contacted an entity that she called the All That Is One. And this was a collection of voices that she contacted. And she said to them, well, I have some questions for you. And the voices said, you know, go on. And she said, but I don't know what the questions are. They've only told me a number. And the voices said to her, don't worry. We do know what the questions are. And to give you an idea of how precisely they were able to match, you know, so it's just not a matter of us, you know, arbitrarily taking whatever answer they gave and sort of shoehorning it into, you know, trying to make it fit into the question. Let me give you an example, Simon. Question number one was, since 1857, has the other side failed? And has mankind failed to achieve good progress in securing human spirituality? So that question was encoded, you know, as the number. The answer came back. The immediate answer was, failure is progress. So, you know, we're not shoehorning the answer into the question. You know, obviously that directly answers the question. The entity involved wanted to immediately reassure us that the answer was being asked, was being answered directly.
And I suppose if the mediums don't know what the questions are, this can cut out what the mediums may imprint on the answer. If they get something coming through that's quite vague, they might imprint their own ideas of what the answer is.
Absolutely. And these questions are very emotionally powerful. You know, questions such as, you know, how does the other side actually help humanity? Has the other side failed? Or has humanity failed? The reason we coded the questions as numbers is we didn't think that, well, I'm sure that it can be achieved, but it'd be very difficult for the medium to get their own mind out of the way. In contrast, some of the answers that we heard through the mediums, they were shocked. They themselves were shocked. We had one of the questions, of course, was, you know, how does the other side help humanity? And the answer came through war, through death. Through death itself can be powerful in mankind's spiritual development. And when the medium transmitted this message to us, she burst into tears. She said, no, it can't be true. This, it can't be true that war is a engine of spiritual development. You know, so to give you an idea of how our technique, you know, so completely got away from the medium's own, you know, preconceptions of what the answer should be, which is, of course, what we wanted.
And do you know who the spirits were who gave the answers, or is it more that kind of idea that it was a, like that you said before, a group of communicators?
We have a table in the book that contains the information about the entities that were contacted. So I'm going to read some of the names. For example, one of the mediums contacted the I Am. Some others contacted their personal guides. One of them was called Penelope. One of the mediums contacted a group of angels. Another medium contacted the All That Is One. And actually, three of the mediums contacted the I Am That I Am. And another one contacted Saint James. And another medium contacted Allan Kardec, who precisely was the creator of the first scientific experiment regarding mediumship. This was done in the late 1800s, and he did more or less the same that we did. He asked a group of different mediums the same questions. And he wrote a pioneer study called The Spirits Book. And this was published in 1857. So the Bigelow study was really trying to do a follow-up on Allan Kardec's initial study. And it was highly influenced by Allan Kardec, who more or less reached the same conclusions. After interviewing different spirits, he came to the conclusion that Earth is a school, and that even what we perceive as negative events or calamities contribute to our spiritual evolution. So as you can see, there were different entities that were contacted, and they all more or less coincided and said that progress is relative, and that even when we think we are not progressing, we are learning lessons of love that will allow us to progress spiritually in the future. So even the world wars, or even the 9/11 events, actually were positive for the evolution of mankind, because thanks to these calamities, we learned new lessons and we evolved as a civilization.
The spirit world really challenged the underlying subtext of the questions. Because the four questions essentially, as AJ was saying, are an update of Allan Kardec's work in the mid-1800s. And, you know, essentially, the Bigelow Foundation was asking what progress has been made since the time of Allan Kardec. And the implication behind the questions is that mankind has not progressed spiritually. And that is, in fact, what we heard through our mediums as well. Of our 19 mediums, most of them agreed that mankind has not progressed spiritually in the last 150 odd years. Since the time of Allan Kardec. The ones who did say that we had progressed spiritually pointed out that progress can be made, as AJ was saying, through calamities. So we were tasked by the Bigelow Foundation to, as they put it, hold the spirit world's feet to the fire. To really ask them detailed and specific questions. So when we ask them specific questions, what about the horrors of Gaza? What about the world wars that seem to be raging around the globe? The answer that we got back was, sure, that may superficially seem like there's been no spiritual progress, but those are in fact the opportunities that you have to progress spiritually. And this became was illustrated more vividly when we asked the questions of what has the spirit world specifically done to help humanity spiritually progress. And Simon, I'll give you an example of why our technique was so powerful of asking a number. So, for example, that second question, you know, what has specifically the spirit world done to help mankind progress? We coded that question as a number. We gave it to our medium, who's the FBI agent. And she immediately said she was in contact with the Trinity. She's a deeply religious Roman Catholic. And she said that she was shown a vision of tablets, of stone tablets, and that she could feel that they were curved at the top, but they were square at the bottom. And they had a writing on them, and there was 10 numbers. It doesn't surprise me that she couldn't read the writing, because we know that this type of information comes through the right temporal lobe. That's how our brain connects with the universe. And of course, the right temporal lobe is nonverbal. So the verbal part of mankind, we create with our left brain, which usually is not involved in mediumship or, getting spiritual information. And this was a nice example of it. She couldn't read what was written on the tablets, but there is no question that she was indicating the Ten Commandments. So this was the spirit world's way of saying, you ask, essentially you're asking how we have helped mankind's development. How about the Ten Commandments? You can start right there, at one of the basics of way the spirit world has attempted to influence humanity. And this became more interesting when we asked the third question, which is, what has the spirit world done to inspire humanity spiritually in the last 150 odd years? One of our mediums, when we posed that number to her, not the question, but just repeated the number, she drew the benzene ring. Now, this is a medium in Fort Wayne, Indiana, which is the heartland of the United States. She has a high school education. She doesn't know chemistry. She didn't even know what she was drawing. But in response to this question, she drew the benzene ring. When we then hit the books and tried to understand why the spirit world had given us that message, we discovered that the benzene ring was, in fact, transmitted to a German chemist named Kukulé in the late 1800s through a spiritual vision. In fact, he was so impressed by this that he was in a state of that half awake, half asleep state when this spiritual vision came to him of exactly what the benzene ring was, that he then gave a lecture about his discovery of the benzene ring, in which he said, dream, 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 and then take your visions and dreams to the laboratory, which is what he did. He took his understanding of the benzene ring, which then led directly to the development of aniline dyes, which led to being able to make different colors of cloth, which directly led to Germany's industrial might at the end of the 1800s and early 1900s. And our medium anticipated this because not only did she draw a benzene ring, but she started to say, this is weird. I'm seeing red thread. I'm seeing threads. They're red. And in fact, one of the first dyes that was developed was a reddish dye color cloth red. And eventually, as this whole story came from the other side to us about the importance of the benzene ring, it was revealed that Germany's industrial might led directly to World War I, which led directly to the League of Nations, which was one of the early precursors of the United Nations. And the spirit world was telling us, you know, as AJ was saying, that calamities can lead to spiritual progress. And they were essentially saying, we inspired the German chemist Kukulé to develop the benzene ring, which then in turn led to a tremendous war, which then led to a greater understanding of spiritual peace between the nations.
Hello, this is me, Simon. Did you know that during a past life regression, you can meet with your spirit guide? I conduct past life regression sessions over Zoom, and I've guided many clients to a spiritual encounter with their guide. If you would like to ask me how a session would work for you, you can book a free 20-minute consultation on my website, pastliveshypnosis.co.uk. The link is in the show notes.
Among other inspired inventions that came to light during this research, the spirits mentioned that the radio, the telephone, the cell phone, the internet, and many other inventions were inspired by spirit. Among the inventors that received these inspirations were Edison, Crookes, Einstein, and Nikola Tesla, who are known for having these insights and following some of them following dreams and others following daydreams. Okay, so lesser known examples that were also mentioned include the development of certain technologies such as magnetic propulsion and some studies in quantum physics. Also, they said they inspired the civil rights movement, and that the spirits directly inspired key figures like Martin Luther King. So this was really interested. And also the development of the first vaccines suggested that while humans developed the Salk vaccine, apparently these were directly inspired by the spiritual world.
That's absolutely correct. So it's fascinating that we gave a number, you know, a number that corresponds to, you know, what inventions or what inspirations has the spirit world given to inspire humanity. Our mediums transmitted information as AJ, these various inventions. And then when we went and looked up, for example, the Salk vaccine, in fact, Jonas Salk stated that came to him in a dream as part of a spiritual inspiration. There's a lot of validation to show that we were truly getting information from the other side. But also, it's fascinating to learn that the spirit world seems to always be with us, to be constantly inspiring us, nudging us, whispering to us. In fact, the sense I got is that the spirit world is all around us at all times. And the question was, how is the spirit world inspiring humanity? The answer really seemed to me to be that we as humans need to do a better job of listening, that we need to do a better job of sorting out, you know, what comes from our fears and our anxieties, and what is true inspiration. The spirit world even said things like they would nudge people to get a job in a different part of the country because they felt that that would help the person to develop spiritually. We even heard that process, that all of humanity was forced to move around the globe because the spirit world triggered an ice age. What we learned is that the spirit world seems to be evolving with us. That there really doesn't seem to be any clear-cut distinction between the spirit world and this reality. Oh, is that what's your understanding, AJ? Is that what you got out of this as well?
Yes, yes. Also, there's something that we need to that was also mentioned is that Earth is a school. That's why all these calamities serve as lessons, because we are here to learn lessons of love. And this urgent message that was given to mankind is essentially we need to learn our lessons of love. Otherwise, we will risk, we will head towards self-extinction. So we will risk our own survival if we do not learn these lessons of love. However, apparently, like Melvin said, these spirits are guiding us 24/7, and they are helping us evolve. So although they are non-intrusive mentors, they cannot intervene directly, they do inspire changes, and they do, while leaving us choose our own destiny and respect our free will, they do inspire changes, and that's how they help us evolve.
They inspire changes, but they don't create the changes themselves. So this, I think, one of the biggest questions that we have, Simon, is why do bad things happen to good people? Why is it that we can do everything right in life and, check all the boxes and do what we're supposed to do? And yet tragedy happens to us. The death of a child, injustice, just seemingly random acts of tragedy, the hurricanes here in the United States right now. It just seemed so random. From our medium study, we learned that none of that is random. If anything, the reason bad things happen to good people is that they're ready for it. It's like they're now going to get a PhD in their lessons of love. They're going to be challenged with increasingly more difficult trials and tribulations to understand. And I can understand that. I think that is one of the challenges that we have. How do we avoid bitterness? How do we embrace love in the face of injustice, in the face of calamity?
Did you get the impression at all the spirit world might be looking upon the human race and thinking, oh man, we're trying really hard, but they're just not getting it?
Boy, Simon, that came through so clearly with the fourth question. The fourth question was, to what extent have earthbound spirits impeded, sabotaged, or distorted the progress of human spiritual evolution? And remember, I told you that, the other questions, some of the entities would say yes, some of the entities would say no. If we really looked at all the questions as a whole, we could understand, why there were some differences. But this question, Simon, was unanimous. It's humans. It was, stop worrying about bad spirits. Stop worrying about saboteurs. It's humans. Humans are not listening. Humans are responding to their own fears and anxieties. It's humans who are subverting their own progress. And that's They did say, though, that they were cheering us on. I want to come back again and again, Simon, to how we got this information. Because if you don't understand that it came through the posing of numbers, you know, otherwise, you know, this just seems like, you know, every other, book on mediumship and, you know, a philosophy, spiritual philosophy. But for example, that first question of, that AJ was alluding to earlier, that we seem to be at the brink of perhaps self-extinction. Our first question that we posed as a number, has mankind failed to make spiritual progress? The medium, one of the mediums, said that she was being taken to the edge of a cliff, and she suddenly felt like she was in a scene from the movie Thelma and Louise, where the two heroines drive their car right off the edge of a cliff. And then the medium was told by the entity, this is what free will gets you. You know, AJ was talking about earlier, that we have free will. And yes, that free will can result in us driving a car off the edge of a cliff. But that information came to us by posing a number and getting that answer, making it all the more powerful. That's why we titled our book An Urgent Message to Mankind, or to humanity. You know, we were funded no matter what answer the mediums gave us. You know, we didn't have a horse in the race. It didn't matter to us what the answers were. You know, our job was simply to report the answers to the Bigelow Foundation. And yet, the answer that we got again and again was, we are at the edge of a cliff. Sure, as AJ said, this reality is a school to learn lessons of love. But if we burn the school building down, you know, if we destroy our home, we're not going to be learning any lessons.
So were there other teams working with other mediums working on these questions?
Yes, there were five other teams in different, I think there were two teams in the United States, and the others were in other countries, including Brazil and some in Europe. However, they used different methods. They did not use remote viewing or spiritual sight, as it is now known. And they did obtain similar results. However, we did not have any contact with them because this was more or less forbidden. You know, we could not, we don't even know them. So that's the truth.
Okay.
But our study validated their results. I think that, you know, the original study done by Allan Kardec in the 1800s, what Allan Kardec did was he went to different mediums who didn't know each other and posed these questions to them. So Robert Bigelow did the same thing, but worldwide. You know, he had these six scientific teams interviewing mediums. The other five scientific teams came up with identical results, even though, as AJ was saying, one team interviewed mediums in Brazil. Another team was interviewing mediums in Europe. You know, regardless, the same message is coming through loud and clear, you know, about the current state of humanity. We're on a roller coaster, in other words. And right now, as one of our mediums told us, we're upside down on the roller coaster. And, you know, this is, I know it's a hard message to hear. We've been hearing gloom and doom and, you know, it seems like there, you know, there's been, you know, all kinds of predictions calamities, you know, the end of the world, you know, et cetera. You know, and I hate to be fitting into all of that. And yet, there simply cannot be any doubt that the message we got was a simple one. That the spirit world said that they inspired the Bigelow Foundation to create this contest. They inspired this challenge grant, and they did it specifically to transmit this message. Learn to love, or we are at the point of self-extinction. And that is not unreasonable, considering the weapons of war and the universal discord and disharmony in the world today. It certainly is not an impossible message.
Did you get any replies to the questions that really surprised you?
Well, I'm going to let AJ answer that too, but the most surprising answer to me was that death is one of the great engines of spiritual development. That was very surprising to me to hear that. I would say, one of the mediums, when asked the question, what does the spiritual world do for humanity? And the answer, the entity simply said, death. You know, meaning that that's a time of rest and reflection. What surprised you, AJ?
Well, that surprised me also. The way they described this school as a school of pain and suffering. This was really intense because they said something that was interesting. Since they implied that once we die, we have time to evolve and continue evolving, because they talked about reincarnation. So if we think in terms of reincarnation, then death ceases to be something negative, because we never die. Death is an illusion. And that is really interesting, because that explains why even world wars cease to be something negative, because in the end, none of us die. So it's kind of confusing, and it's hard to digest. But that's basically the truth. This is a school of pain and suffering.
I'd like to flesh that out a bit, AJ, because we were tasked by the Bigelow Foundation of asking specific questions to really, I was saying earlier, to really probe, to not just take platitudes for an answer. And so I was involved with interviewing one of the mediums, and I asked these questions. I said, wait a minute. So let's look at the horrors of Gaza. You're saying that the horrors of Gaza are part of learning lessons of love, people dying, the senselessness of the violence. And the entity said, yes. and then specifically said, why do you so fear death? Said, of course, there is suffering involved, that suffering is part of, being in this reality. But death itself then is not to be feared, but is a time of rest, a time of reflection, and a time of spiritual growth. And that was very surprising and the deeper I posed those questions, the more specific the answers came back. Don't fear death. And, that came as a surprise to me. There's another thing, Simon, if I can answer another part of it, because for me, the answers were all very, counterintuitive. They really challenged what at least, me, and I think, I have a sort of common sense of view of spirituality. I think that, another surprising thing I wanted to answer was this relationship between the spirit world and us. Specifically, we did not hear any example of the spirit world preventing tragedy, the spirit world stopping something terrible from happening. I'll give you an example. When I asked the question of how does the spirit world influence humanity, the entity gave this example. The entity said that described a motorcycle accident. This involved the medium's brother. So this was interesting. The medium learned from this example. There was a terrible motorcycle accident, and the gentleman involved flipped off his motorcycle. His arm was ripped off, and he fell into a puddle of water and would have drowned. And the spirit world did nothing to try to prevent this terrible accident. It didn't try to save him. So that's what we often think, that that's what angels are supposed to do. They're supposed to save us from these things. No, the example the spirit world gave was that there was a group of children that were on a playground nearby, and that the spirit world influenced these children to play in a different area than they usually play. And by playing in this different area, they saw the motorcycle accident, and they were able to call for help. And so they were able to save this gentleman's life. And then he was left with the challenge, the spiritual challenge, of how to live your life, having lost an arm and surviving a terrible accident such as that. That was his lesson of love that the spirit world had presented him. And the way the spirit world helped him was not by preventing the accident, but was by influencing children to have him rescued. And that was very surprising. And that's not, I would say that's a typical type of example that we were given. What's your impression of that, AJ?
Well, yes, just like you mentioned, it seems they seem to be orchestrating what's going on. And like I said before, this is hard to digest. It's really hard to understand. I really don't know how they work exactly. And I really don't know why all these calamities take place. But I am really surprised by what they said. And yeah. So I really don't know what to think, but I do know that that's what they said.
At this school, this reality is a school.
And school of pain and suffering.
Yeah. Well, there's, I think from a, looking at it from a scientific point of view, this all makes sense. It's neuroscience 101 that we do, in fact, invent this reality, this reality is created by our brain. In fact, even time and space are not fundamental properties of the universe, but are created by our brains. When we step back and we look at the science that underpins mediumship, it is somewhat counterintuitive. It used to be, of course, thought that the brain creates consciousness. Now the prevailing scientific thinking is that consciousness is a substrate of the universe, and that the brain creates things like space and time. Even colors are created by the brain. Colors, of course, do not exist in nature. Nature itself is information. It should not be surprising that our souls are eternal, because, of course, we're just collections of information embedded in the informational universe. Such as John Wheeler said the universe is information. Well, that being true, the cluster of information that corresponds to my mother, all of her memories and personality and anxieties and fears and loves and hopes and dreams. That's a cluster of information. And that cluster of information is, of course, embedded in the timeless, spaceless universe. So it's eternal. And the only thing that needs to be added is, you know, the precise mechanisms then of how our brain could possibly communicate with these clusters of information. And yet we know that it must be true because we see that from near-death research. We know that people at the point of death, when our brains stop working, so therefore the brain gets out of the way, no longer a filter, no longer preventing us from, you know, clear understanding of the universe, that at that point, then in fact, people start to see discarnate entities. Like, you know, a child said to me, she saw her grandmother who had previously passed. I was just so shocked to see her. It would be shocking, of course. But, you know, when we die, we start to see discarnate entities, you know, that there's no reason that we can't use our and train our brains to communicate with these entities while we're still alive. And certainly we demonstrated that with our mediumship study.
Well, it's been great talking to you guys again. The book's called An Urgent Message for Humanity, and people can get that on Amazon, can't they, and other places?
Yes.
Basically in Amazon.
Great, great. Well, thanks again for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for inviting
welcome.
Us.
And, you know, I invite people to contact us. If people have questions, our website, it's www.ISSCUSA.org. So ISSCUSA.org. Please contact us if you have questions. You can download our report, you know, for free if you like. If you want the commentary with Raymond Moody, John Alexander, want to read Dr. Giona's treatise on the brain as an antenna, you can buy the book through Amazon or from our website.
Thanks a lot. This week, I was talking to Dr. Melvin Morse and AJ Parr about their book, An Urgent Message for Humanity, received during a groundbreaking scientific mediumship research project from The Spirit. And a great way to support the podcast is to join Patreon. When you subscribe for $6 a month, you get exclusive access to an extended episode every week. And for $3 a month, you get access to an extended episode every month. And you can now sign up for a 7-day free trial. The Patreon episodes are ad-free and are released 2 days before the free versions. And please check out my other podcast. It's called the Alien UFO Podcast, and I release a new episode every Monday. And you can find it on almost every podcast app. You can become a patron by going to patreon.com/ourparanormalafterlife. Or click on the Patreon button on my homepage at pastliveshypnosis.co.uk. The links are in the show notes. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.